is Sean Peck of Cage, and you're listening to my friend Dave Softee's Metal Meltdown here on Metal Messiah Radio. Fellow metalheads, please welcome back to Metal Messiah Radio, Mr. Sean Peck of Cage. Thanks for being with us again, Sean. I know you had quite a busy schedule. Also want to let you know you are a band of the week here at Metal Messiah Radio. Welcome.
That's super cool, man, and it's good to be on the air with you again here, one of my favorite interviews of the hundreds that I've done. So it's cool, man. It's good.
I appreciate that, my friend. You are my friend, and I want to say, first of all, I want to congratulate you and the band on creating an incredible album, a masterpiece with Science of Annihilation. Feel free to tell us how you got your inspiration for this masterpiece.
You know, after coming off the Hell Destroyer, the concept album, we knew we wanted to, you know, go to a straight ahead, no frills, grab a bottle of Jack Daniels, two hot chicks, and like 87 Camaro, and put the CD in and speed down the highway type of an album. And that's kind of what we decided to do. We knew we wanted to, you know, we knew there were some directions that we could go, you know, doing some thrash beat and blast beat stuff that we had never really experimented with before. We knew we wanted to go in that direction even before, you know, we got the new drummer. And once we got the new drummer, Norm Leggio, it really just molded itself and became, you know, probably the fastest, I don't know if the heaviest, but the fastest record we've done. And, you know, it's cool to go fast and everything, and everyone says, oh, it's the fastest, heaviest record we've ever done. But, you know, the songs have to be good no matter what you're doing, if it's slow, fast, or medium, mid-tempo. And we just really, again, put an emphasis on, you know, writing great songs. And, I mean, people are really digging the record. It's getting a lot of attention, really helping us move forward.
You've always had great words to go along with the great music, and I agree. I've never heard such incredible drumming on Cage albums. Norm Leggio is amazing. How does he maintain that speed throughout the album, though, and during live gigs? How does he maintain himself?
It's funny that you say that, because like we just did our first real tour in Europe in May, and when we showed our management the tour schedule and the set that we were going to play every night, the management said, that tour is suicide, when they looked at everything. And we're like, okay. And somehow, you know, we just, between, you know, Norm, you know, playing the drums super fast. I mean, he's just, Norm is like, you know, not only, you know, a natural born, you know, talent for drumming, but he's real a student of his craft, because he practices like every day. He has, you know, drumming books. He's always trying to like learn new techniques. And, you know, some other musicians, they'll become like prima donnas and they'll just like rely on their natural skill. This guy like works on it all the time, and you know, his foot speed is like super fast, and his hand speed is always really fast, and he just drives the train. And then of course the guitar player's got to play faster, and I got to, like, just scream constantly. It's not easy, man.
Yeah, you told us what to expect. You gave us the heads up on Norm Leggio, and you definitely have delivered the goods. And I want to say about your voice, I mean, I have all your albums, and I love Unveiled. And those songs I play on the air sometimes, and people don't believe that it's Cage because they're used to Hell Destroyer. But let me say, on this new Cage album, Signs of Annihilation, I have never heard more intensity coming from you than ever before. How do you maintain that? How are you feeling? And what sort of conditioning do you do to prepare for your recording? How do you prepare for it? And the live gigs as well. How do you maintain all that belting out of all that screaming and getting those words out there?
Well, it's, you know, I think I'm probably singing better than I've ever had before. I'm continuing to, you know, employ new techniques and, you know, push myself towards my weaker areas, you know, and try and get those better. You know, I've got the high voice thing, you know, in a real good spot right now, where I've got a nice raspy, you know, head voice scream. I'm not really even using any falsetto really that much, only on the super high dolphin notes, like at the beginning of Kill the Devil and stuff. And so, you know, I've just kind of naturally developed, you know, a real consistent, powerful, you know, bunch of different voices. And then, you know, when we do the albums, I try and take a different vocal approach on each song. Like, you know, in Speed Kills, you just heard, I kind of tried to do that, you know, Halford nasally voice kind of in the verses, kind of a little impersonation. And then, on Black River Falls, I did some, you know, King Diamond falsetto stuff, and then I threw some Danny Filth black metal vocals in and out of it. So, always trying to color it and layer it so that each song is a little bit, you know, makes the album a little more of an interesting listen, I think. And then when we went on the road, I had never really done a full-length tour. I mean, this is our fifth album. We had never really done, like, a big long tour, and now we finally did, you know, a three-week full-long headlining tour. And I really didn't know what to expect from my voice. I didn't know, you know, like I said, some of the shows were, like, you know, six shows in a row, and the set was just, you know, nothing but just screaming from one end of the spectrum to the other.
Yeah.
And I was able to do it, man. I just, you know, I took some advice from some people and, you know, tried not to be such a blabbermouth that I normally am, and, you know, get out of your wet clothes and into some warm, dry clothes and keep your head warm and drink a lot of water. And I was able to, you know, have all my tools for the whole tour. So it's been real good. You know, we're the whole band as a unit is, you know, probably at our peak right now. And when we're able to mix these Science of Annihilation songs in with all the rest of the songs from the previous albums, I mean, the set now is just a freaking machine gun attack. We're having a great time.
I tell you, man, I wish I could have been there at Prog Power. I had friends there. They kept me in contact from all the shows that were going on. And when you were on there, they told me right away that you, Cage, brought the power to Prog Power. And yeah. I definitely believe it. I wish I could have been there, though. But and you were here in Brooklyn. You were in New York, actually. You were on the 12th and on the 13th. You were in the New York area. And I saw that on a bulletin that your Cage page was sending out there. And you were in Mexico on September 5th and in Florida September 9th, just before Prog Power. That's amazing how you could sing like you do repeatedly in, like, what, a week and a half?
Yeah, man, that was another suicide tour. I mean, it was like, you know, play the show in Tampa, get back to the hotel at, like, 3:30, gotta be at the airport at 6:30 type of thing. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, every night we had like 3 hours of sleep and all these flights and stuff, but we were able to, you know, we're Vikings. We don't freaking complain about, oh man, I don't have any sleep. And, you know, we were with some other bands and they're like, we're, you know, hanging out with them in the hotel room at like 2 a.m, like, dude, we gotta get up by noon. I'm like, noon, dude? I'm up in like 5 hours on the plane. What are you complaining about? So we pride ourselves in being able just to, you know, the Tampa show, we got up at 3 a.m, flew out of L.A., got into Tampa at 4 and played that night. So, I mean, no rest for the wicked, and, you know, the show must go on, and we always give it our all, whether we got 2 hours of sleep or no sleep.
I bet the fans are going crazy for you guys when you're doing your live shows, and that's what you live for. That's what you feed off of, so that energizes you, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, the real payoff of all the work is the live performance, you know, just... When you, like, the Prog Power show was, you know, one of the best shows we've done in the United States, you know, between that and, you know, opening for some of the big bands like Priest and Maiden. But the Prog Power is so cool just because everyone there is, like, just so into just the whole metal experience. And, you know, we signed autographs for, like, 2 freaking hours and gave out, you know, hundreds of free posters and made a lot of new fans and definitely... You know, for kicking off the Friday show, people didn't know what to expect, and we came out there with, you know, opened the show with Planet Crusher, and people's, like, faces were, like, blown back like in a NASA high G chamber test experiment. So yeah. It was cool.
I got goosebumps the first time I heard it, to be honest with you. I was like, wow.
Nice.
You delivered the goods, like I said. And, I listened to the words. The words on all your albums are amazing. Like I was telling you, Darker Than Black is one of my favorite albums from yours, and you have 2 songs there that I always will play on whatever 9/11 theme show I'll do. It's just the words that you make are incredible. And in this album, Science of Annihilation, I keep trying to count how many names the Specter of War or the Planet Crusher, I assume that's all the same guy. And in the song Science of Annihilation, it says he's known by many names. So I count 5 or 6 different names throughout the album for the Planet Crusher. Am I correct?
That was more to be like a theme through the record, you know. But the Planet Crusher is actually just probably, it's like a Marvel superhero takeoff of Galactus and the Silver Surfer. I mean, that's the literal translation, but I was a bit vague in some areas to try and, like I said, we wanted to put kind of a cosmic thread through the whole record. It's not a concept, but, you know, at the end of the album on the Science of Annihilation, like, trilogy, you know, that's like a demigod type character called the Specter of War, which I thought was a cool play on words, and that really encapsulated the whole record. Is, you know, in Hell Destroyer, we destroy the entire Earth, and in Science of Annihilation, we destroyed the entire universe. So now we're trying to figure out what we can destroy next.
Right.
You gotta move on to the next record.
You got the Devourer of Worlds in that, too. Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because after listening to Science of Annihilation repeatedly, one can visualize or imagine it becoming a film, or even an animated film, like the heavy metal movies. Can you ever think of doing a film or having an animated film based on Science of Annihilation? It would work really great.
Well, I mean, you know, I had grand high hopes for the whole Hell Destroyer thing. I think that would have been an amazing movie. We were talking to some animators about animating basically the cover of that album as the giant Hell Destroyer going through hell, smashing freaking devil towers and stuff. And we also actually had a working video game that we were going to release in Japan, and then we kind of got sidetracked off that. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I come from a comic book movie type background, and so, you know, the interior artist is a guy named George Davis who does some Marvel cards and stuff. So he drew some cool images, and then of course Mark Sasto on the cover with, you know, the last three album covers that we've done that have been fantastic. You know, it's the imagery, you see how much work and effort we put into the booklet and the packaging. We make sure that when the fans, you know, put out 15 hard-earned dollars, they're going to get all kinds of music and all kinds of stuff to look at while they listen.
Amazing cover art. Are there any DVDs out, or any plans for live Cage music out there on CD?
We're working on a DVD right now. We have one ready to go, but now we're going to take the actual Prog Power performance too, probably, and put it on the DVD. So the DVD we're going to put out, we'll have two full concerts and all kinds of behind the scenes stuff. So yeah, we're ready to put one out. We can pack some more value into it. You know, that's what we're known for. So we want to keep that up. When we do our first DVD, we want to give them just a ton of material.
Excellent. Tell us about what other touring you may have, what other events or shows you have coming up. Anything new?
We're doing a benefit for one of the local high schools here for like their music department. They asked us to play, and anytime we get a chance to play in front of you know, the kids, we've been playing a lot of all-ages shows, and we've been having a great time playing, you know, for the 14 through 18-year-olds. They go absolutely crazy for this stuff. And we're working on two shows in Mexico, probably Monterrey and Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And 2010, gosh, just all kinds of stuff coming up. We're going to be all over the place. So right now we're kind of in writing mode. We're going to take like about 6 weeks off and like really cram on some new songs. And then towards the end of the year we'll be doing quite a few shows, and then we'll be probably two or three tours of Europe in 2010. And we're also working on a Texas run and another East Coast run right now.
Uh-huh. Well, Sean, tell me, what is the largest venue you have performed at?
What's that?
The largest shows. What's the largest venue? The amount of people, stage-wise, at your concerts. What's the largest amount of people you've performed for?
Well, I mean, we've done, you know, Dynamo was probably, I don't know, 10,000. Falcon was pretty big. The Maiden pre-shows that was only probably like 5,000 or so.
Uh-huh.
We did these two shows. One of the shows that's going to be on the DVD was Monterrey, Mexico, at the Mago de Oz Fest. Mago de Oz is a kind of a pirate metal band from Spain. They're huge in Mexico. We played with them and Udo at this giant sports dome. That had to have been, that in the Mexico City show, I think was in excess of 15,000 people. And it was in a giant arena, just like if you're like Ozzy Osbourne or something. It was amazing. It was
right.
Just the full light show, the giant massive stage, the giant video screen. So those Mexico shows still probably rank as the best shows we've done. And they were freaking amazing. You know, like I said, you'll see one of those performances on the DVD that's coming out.
Awesome. Do you prefer the intimacy of smaller venues, of smaller crowds?
In a way, I do. I mean, I think the Prog Power crowd was like a really perfect size. I don't know if it's like 1,000 or 2,000 people, but that venue is just great, the way it's all laid out. And, you know, I really like, you know, part of my whole gig is like making eye contact with people and just really giving as many people as I can a good 5 or 10 seconds of just like me giving them the metal stare and just like captivating their freaking metal minds with my scream and stare simultaneously. simultaneously. So yeah, I get a real kick out of, you know, a tight crowd that's, you know, fully into it. We played one show in, I think it was Oberhausen in Germany. There was probably like 150 people, but they were just like completely fanatically, just completely insanely into it. I mean, everyone in the place was like fist in the air and singing along, and that was, you know, that was only 150 people, but it was probably one of the best shows of the whole tour.
Yeah, I seen your pictures on the MySpace, and you definitely looked like you were having fun, and damn, I love that leather jacket, but you must have been burning up on stage.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, we play all these places, you know, and we play these festivals and these bands, you know, they're like, oh, it was, I think it was the Garden played Up the Hammers in Greece, and they got up and they played one show, and they're like, it is very hot, but we will continue. And then we went up, and I'm like, oh, I was in my full, that giant leather coat, fully leathered out, the whole band, pouring sweat. I'm like, I'm going to keep this leather jacket on for like six songs. I am going to defy the heat. The metal is coursing through my veins, and I don't care if it's 10,000 degrees, man. I'm going to just bring the pain. So we've taken it upon ourselves to like scoff at other bands and like complain that it's too hot on stage. It's always hot on stage, but I mean, the hottest show we've ever done was next to the Grease show was in Monterrey, Mexico. This Club Iguanas, and it had to have been like 130 on stage. I mean, it was completely ridiculous. So we just sat there and just dished it out, man. And the show we just did in Mexicali, it was had to have been pretty close to that. Yeah, I remember Dave was just the guitar player with the big muscles. He was standing there. I mean, in like he was literally in a 6-foot pool of water. It was pretty hilarious. Amazing. I wish I had taken a picture of it.
Amazing. Sean, where haven't you played, wherever in the world, where haven't you played that you would like to play, or that you plan to play?
Well, we want to play Japan. Japan's been a market that's been tough for us to get any traction. We got a couple guys there that are digging us now. South America, we move a good amount of records. We have a lot of fans in there, so we'd like to go down to South America and really show them what we got. I'm sure they would just absolutely love us down there. I'm also, you know, intrigued by, like, China. I think that'd be kind of cool to go there and go behind the Iron Curtain and blast China. And I think Russia, too. I'd like to see how the Russians dig the cage thing. There's a lot of stuff working right now. So I think, you know, those are all definitely within the realm of possibilities. And, you know, what I think what we do is, for our genre, you know, I'm very confident that, you know, we're one of the top acts, you know, in our genre for our little niche that we have, and you know, I'll put our show and our sound and our performance up, you know, against anybody. We've done it before. I mean, when you have to open for Judas Priest, Iron Maiden, you better have your act together, or you're going to get booed off the stage.
That's true. Those countries, they're going to love your music, guaranteed. They're going to love the power that you have within Cage. They'll probably miss out on the fantastic lyrics that go along with it, but they'll be moshing with you, but you know how they're going to love seeing you live. I'm sure about that, and I hope that all works out for you, bro.
Cool. Well, you know, there's been a lot of moshing in our concerts lately, so I think we were at Prog Power. I know there's no mosh pits allowed, but I want everyone here to have a mosh pit going on inside of their minds as we play Speed Kills.
Yeah, awesome. Sean, do you have any words of wisdom for the up-and-coming bands that are trying to get signed, working it in the metal business? There's bands that are always coming out trying to get a record deal, trying to join the metal groupings. Any words of wisdom from you that you could offer to some of the bands that are actually listening tonight?
Well, I mean, you know, for bands that are kind of in our level, that, you know, have a core group of fans that are going to buy the record no matter what, you know, I don't think a record label is really the best way to go at this point. I think, you know, bands that are in our, you know, still underground but have, you know, 10 or 20,000 fans that are hardcore, I think those kind of bands need to get a different business model like we've done, where you're doing most of it on your own and you're doing your own distribution. You're able to capture most of the revenue on your own. I mean, this album, we've had, I think, 10 different label offers to put this album out, and we turned them all down and put it out ourselves. And, you know, now, thanks to the fans and the dedication of them, we have, you know, the Cage coffers are looking pretty good, and we were able to afford doing our own tour. I mean, we have no record label, and we're finally able to do our first tour, if that tells you anything. So for bands that are, you know, like I said, our kind of level, that's, I think, the future. And then for the up and coming bands, I think they're the ones that need the labels to, like, you know, give them the initial push to put the print ads in the magazines and let people know, you know, who they are when you're starting from scratch. The advice I always give is, you know, no matter what your genre, no matter what your preferred style, you know, stick to your guns, play what's from your heart. Don't ever try and chase any trends because it's just pointless. I mean, making a living creating original music is like the hardest profession that there is probably on earth. It's harder than being an undersea welder, a lawyer, or a brain surgeon. So it's pointless to try and chase some trends. You just need to play what's from the heart. Do it for, you know, your own gratification. You know, we started a Cage because I love metal, and there just wasn't any good metal out, you know, back in the grunge era in the 90s. So I said, well, we got to write our own metal songs, and that's why Cage is here today, just to, you know, as a fan of the music. So just play, you know, for self-gratifying purposes, and if you get successful and other people like it, then that's a cherry on top of the sundae.
That's it, yeah. Sean Peck, you are an amazing man. Thank you for that, answering that question. And I love what you had to say. Your words are always amazing. And I want to thank you again, Sean, for your friendship and for being here. I know you've been real busy, you know, after the touring, and then you have your interviews lined up and all that. I just want to thank you again for being here. And you know you're always welcome here. Even if you only have like 5 minutes of something to say, anytime you want to get on the air, you know you can always come to me and we'll get on the air for you, bro.
I appreciate it, man. You're one of my favorite guys to interview with. And like I was telling you before, I mean, I'm standing here. I just got done playing soccer. So I played goalie on an indoor soccer team. We were the champions of San Diego. And I got a tryout for the indoor pro team here in like 10 days. So I'm trying to get in shape and get my game face on to see if I can. I made the pro team once, but I twisted my freaking ankle like right after I got signed. So this is my second shot. Even though they're probably gonna look at me and go, "Who is this old guy trying to do this?" But I'm gonna go out there and give it a shot. Anyway, so I'll let you know in 10 days whether I'm a professional soccer player or not.
All right, I'll be looking forward to hearing about that. I had no idea you were the athletic kind.
What's that?
I had no idea that you were the athletic kind.
Oh yeah, man. I was big time snowboarding for years and years. I was the first guy to ever snowboard in Alaska. I was the Bear Mountain, which is a Southern California ski resort, the Big Air champion for 2 years straight back in the 90s. And I just played soccer for San Diego State, you know, and we took second in the nation 1 year. So I've got a lot of exploits, and that was, you know, then I started, you know, singing in a metal band, and the athletics kind of took a back seat, but I've been having fun, you know. Helps me keep in shape for singing and touring and stuff by getting out there and playing. And now I've been kind of, you know, we won the city championship, and I've been got my game back, and all of a sudden this opportunity came up. I'm like, damn, maybe I can get a shot again. So we'll see. Probably not going to make it, but, you know, I'm going to go and give it a good effort. And if I don't become a pro soccer player, I'll always have no matter what, I mean, I'm always going to do Cage because that's probably my first love, is just the performing, getting out there and just wailing. And we're really enjoying, you know, writing the new music. And like I said, there's a lot of attention towards the band, and the fans have just been great embracing the record and a lot of radio play. I think we were number 7 on CMJ charts the last 3 weeks. So there's a lot going on, man. It's a good time.
Oh, yeah, and also I want to, again, congratulate you for being Metal Messiah Radio's Band of the Week. You know what that means, right?
What's that mean?
That means a Cage tune gets played every hour.
Oh, that's sick. Well, that's so awesome. I mean, thank you so much. I hope the people listening to this, excuse me for blabbering on. And, you know, one of the things we always do after we play, you know, we did it at Prog Power. We go, you know, right after the show, we go right out, you know, sweat and all, and give away as many free stickers and sign as many autographs and shake as many hands as we can and make sure that the fans really know how much we appreciate them. And anytime someone sends me a little thing on MySpace that says, "Hey man, you know, good job, I like the music," I always answer them back personally and make sure that, you know, they know how much we appreciate them. And, you know, cageheavymetal.com and myspace.com/cageheavymetal and twitter.com/cageheavymetal. And send us a message anywhere, and we will definitely let you know that we're listening to you.
Thank you very much for being here again. And I will gonna be playing some more Cage off of Science of Annihilation. Coming up soon, I have Spirit of Vengeance. We played some earlier. We had Planet Crusher and Scarlet Witch. Good stuff, bro. I love this album. Thank you for creating it.
Well, you know, it's always tough to top it. You know, we had Hell Destroyer. We go, how the hell are we going to top this? And now this one's, you know, people are saying is the best. And now we're trying to figure out how we're going to top this one. So it's going to be a big challenge, man. We're working on it right now.
Wow, that will be amazing. The progression of your albums, absolutely. Then what the next one's going to be like, can you imagine? You blow us all away.
Well, we're trying to work on a tune called Hell Destroyer versus Metal Devil with some guest people on it. So that's a little tease, and we'll see how that one comes together.
Oh, yeah, I can see that becoming an arcade game. That would be real interesting. All right, Sean, I'm going to let you go now, but if there's something that you want to talk about or haven't mentioned, please do so now.
No, man, I think we covered it all. Thanks again for having me, and again, to all the listeners out there, thanks so much, and please say hi to us on the website, and any KCD you want, you can get them on KCDmetal.com, and we always throw in a few special free goodies whenever anyone puts an order online.
Yeah, thank you again. And you'll be back on the show again when I'm done with Softy and I have more time and doing more shows. If you want to get something else out there, we'll do it at that time or whenever it's convenient for you. I'll be in touch with you more often when I have the off season to do so. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you so much, Dave, and great interview as usual.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your kind words. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, take care. Good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, back to the tunes. Here's Cage with Spirit of Vengeance.